Hakohanim, Vakshivu Beis Yisrael LeBeis HaMelech. Okay, this establishes what I told you about Hosea before, that Hosea generally addressed the upper class, the Kohanim, the officers, the kings. Notice his contempt of the kings by mentioning the Kohanim first. Usually when you address kings, you should address the king first. Right? He just didn't like the king. So I told you that before, that Amos addressed the person on the street. Hosea addressed the leaders. Okay? So he says, Hazinu ki lochem ha-mishpat. I have this justice to take up with you. Ki pach heyisem le-mitzpah, v'reshes prusa al tavor. You have become a snare, a trap to mitzpah. Let's take a look at Rashi on that. Okay, Rashi says, Mishpat ha-yisurin aleichem beis ha-melech, ki atem ha-yisem pach ha-la-mitzpah, v'reshes al tavor. Al shnei harim halalu hoshivu pardesios lishmor shelo yalu Yisrael regel beis hamikdash. This, according to the Gemara, were two places where they put up fences to prevent the Jews from the north to travel down south to bring their sacrifices to Jerusalem, or their ma'aser sheni, the food that they had to eat in Jerusalem. Okay, you with me on that? Okay, so this was a...
Did they really want to go to Jerusalem?
Well, after some time, no one was going anyway. That's right. I think I told you once before that the Gemara says that the last king, coincidentally also named Hosea, the last king of Israel, it says of him, he was not as bad as all the other kings before him. So the Talmud asks, in what way was he not as bad? He said he took down those fences. He let the Jews go. So what was the kitrug? Why do he has to go down with the ignominy of being the king who lost the kingdom? Right? So what's the answer? What? Yeah.
I don't know.
Because all those
people didn't go.
Right, all those 300 years.
But sometimes things are sealed prior to.
Right, but all those 300 years when the roads were sealed and the Jews didn't go, so they had an excuse. When God's writing down, okay, how many Jews went for Aliyah LeRegel all these years? None. Okay. So there was a fence there. The kings would kill anyone who wanted to go. But now that this king took the fence down, he should have had a plan. He should have, gotten some meetings together about convincing people to go now that they could. Right? It's a kitrug like on us, but not, you know, for some
reason. They were so used to not going already, so they decided.
Right, of course. Yeah,
there was a period between when they weren't allowed. And they've been allowed.
For 250 years.
So several generations.
Yes.
So there would be nobody at the end when they're allowed who remembered going down.
For sure.
So it's like the other kingdom where they just became idol worship, right?
They were so sure
they couldn't get rid of it.
About the allegation
Right.
Yeah, they were just totally unaware. That was about 50 years, but still. Anyway, so this is what, according to Rashi, what this snare is referring to. Not only did they, they built their own temples for the Jews to be closer, so they wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem. They even prevented those who wanted to go to Jerusalem. Okay.
Did Mitzvah have to do with the fact that Yaakov had with Lavan?
I'm not sure if that's why it's mentioned here. Mitzvah was as the word implies, an overlook, a mountainous overlook. There are different places in Israel called Mitzvah something, Mitzvah Yericho. There are different places like that. And usually entails an overlook of a place. Mm-hmm. I think there's a street in Washington Heights called Overlook Street. Or
Terrace.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's exactly the English translation of a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. I think it's the street, mm-hmm. You can see over the Bronx. Right. And you can see that. Is Overlook on the Bennett side or Moshe? Isn't it on the... isn't it past Amsterdam?
Past, no, Bennett side.
So Overlook is no. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's the same thing. Okay, so plus there were a lot of bummos there, a lot of sacrifices there. V'shachatos seitim hemiku v'ani musar l'kulam. Very difficult pasuk. I would just tell you that seitim here comes from the same root as the word satan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or in next week's parsha, when Esav found out that Yaakov took his blessing, remember what the pasuk says? It says, "Vayistom Esav is Yaakov." It's mamash the same word, right? So there, "Vayistom" doesn't mean he sotoned him; it means he hated him. But or furthermore, there's a woman in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar whose husband is jealous of her. What does the Torah call her?
Sota.
Sota. Also from the same word. Yes. Yeah. Mm. In the Torah it's with a sin though. In the Gemara it's with a samach. Mm. Torah it's with a sin. Mm. So this is really
it's changed the life.
Sota. Yes, sin and samach interchange. Right. Absolutely. Yes. Even in Tanakh they exchange.
No, it's changed.
There are drushes. Yeah, the Gemara makes some drushes about it.
Wow.
That a sota is must be her husband must be a shota, which means a fool. Right? But the word in its etymology is connected to the word satan, which means Satan. Yeah, Satan means someone.
Which is spelled with a tet and not a ta.
Oh, with a tet, absolutely. Same tet, yes. Yeah, same tet. Okay, the same word is here. Okay, so however what the pasuk means is that the satim, the hated ones, Hemiku with shachata. They're ingrained. Hemiku, it's ingrained in them. It's in their depths. Shachata means slaughter. Okay, you people are ingrained in slaughter. Ani musar lekulam. And I'm supposed to give you musar. Let me ask you this question. Let's say I take one of my students at YU, an 18-year-old kid, and I said, listen, I want you to come into my shul and talk about the importance of keeping kosher and keeping Shabbos. All right. So will people listen to him? Yeah, most of the people here are keeping kosher and Shabbos, I hope. What if I told him to go to Temple Emmanuel this Friday night, burst in, go up to the front, and start talking about keeping Shabbos and kosher? That would be easier than what Hosea is supposed to do. Because he's talking to murderers. Okay? Sydney. Need the keys? And my coat right behind my door. Thank you. See the car, right? So that would be child's play compared to what's going on here. Okay? Try to go to Vinny's restaurant down in the village and talk to some of the patrons there about not rubbing each other out. Sorry for the sorry about the generalization there. Okay, Ani Yodati Ephraim Bistral Lo Nichad Mimeni. I know you guys don't want to pay any attention to me. Right? Okay. Now, why are you calling them Ephraim? I know Ephraim and Yisrael don't listen to me. Ephraim is a common name for the northern kingdom.
The
kings came from Shevet Ephraim.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the prophecy that's mentioned in the Rosh Hashanah liturgy? Habein Yakir Li. Ephraim. Okay. Ki ato. Not in all the pockets.
Please forgive
me,
I
just have to look at it.
You know what would you like?
Thank you.
Okay, I know you're not going to listen to me. Ki atah he's neis Ephraim nitma Yisrael, because you're ingrained in znus. No way you're going to listen to this. So what's the strategy of saying such a thing? What is that strategy? I mean, Moshe says that also in the Torah. What's the strategy of that? Go over to your kid and say, I know you're not going to listen to me. I know as soon as I close this door, you're going to go back to what you were doing before.
Reverse psychology.
Could be.
Moshe says maybe at the end of Barim.
At the end of Barim, he says things like that. I know, as soon as I die, you're all going to...
Send more.
Yeah, so what you can say is that it's some kind of... that's what the Mephoshim say, is that when you do this, sometimes you say, no, we better prove him wrong. We'll show. No, we could do it. And so, you're up for it.
Psychology?
Yeah, teachers do that a lot.
Yes?
I know the minute I walk out.
Lo yitznu malaleihem lo shuv elohehem, ki ruach nunim bekirbam ve'es Hashem lo yada'u. But Pasuk Dalet is saying, is a message we saw last time also, is that you don't have the opportunity to do this because of znus. You see, we all know, let's say, if you've ever tried to diet or you've ever tried to stick to a program or anything, whether it's alcohol, gambling, whatever it might be, smoking. we have to start with a plan to make sure that this doesn't continue to be a problem. This is an important tshuva message. You can't just say, all right, I'd like to come to Minyan on time from now on. If there are four or five things that are happening the night before that you keep doing, then you can have the best intentions in the world and the best alarm clock in the world, but it's not going to happen unless you come up with a plan. Right? So he says that your plan can never work because of your zinus. So the Gemara tells us this, that two of the biggest impediments to tshuva are zinus and love of money. Okay? And here he talks about this zinus. The anah. What if we read around? Could you start us off, Richard? Okay. The anah. This is not the word to answer, but from the lashon of oni, to be humbled. Is that what you have in English there, Moshe, in Pasuk 5?
It says the pride of Israel will be humbled.
Humbled, okay. The anah
Yisrael. The anah ga'on Yisrael, the fanav, the Yisrael, the Ephraim, yikashlu ba'anon, Kashal Gam Yehuda Imam.
This pasuk is a whole chapter in Yirmiyahu, chapter 3, chapter 16 of Yecheskel. It's just telling us an historical prediction in terms of Hosea, but an historical fact in terms of Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel, namely that Yehuda, the southern kingdom, became worse than the northern kingdom after the northern kingdom was destroyed. Hear that again? Chapter 3 of Yirmiyahu, chapter 16 of Yecheskel. Now, we know from Sefer Melachim that the northern kingdom was terrible throughout. There was never a good time. Achav and Basha and all these terrible, terrible kings. Polytheism throughout. Southern kingdom had its good times. Had bad times too. Had the good kings. Asa, Uzziah for a time, Amatsia. They had some very good kings.
Right? Well, you know, Amatsia was the name of a king.
Yes. Once once the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom not only became as bad, but worse. So that's what he's saying. I mean, he warned Yehuda early in the book. I beg of you, Yehuda, don't follow the ways of Israel. Now, remember I gave you the historical svara of this. When the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom, they went after Jerusalem afterwards, right? They were rebuffed in Jerusalem. Remember that story in chapter 1? Hosea said, I will save Jerusalem. I'll have pity on Jerusalem, but they won't need to fire a shot. They won't need to shoot an arrow. Remember that? That was indicative of that an angel of death that night that slew the Syrians. But things didn't get peachy creamy for us after that, I got to tell you. Right? We were still under the yoke of the Assyrians. So wicked King Menashe thought that he could appease the Assyrians by incorporating all their Avodah Zarah into Yehuda. Why would Asher destroy a nation that's worshipping all of Asher's gods? Right? I don't mean to rationalize idolatry. But that's what happened. Bitzonam uviv kora. Moshe, let's see what this pasuk is saying. A very common concept in the Nevi'im Achronim.
Both. Bitzonam uviv kora yalchu levakeshes Hashem v'loim tzov chalatz mehem.
Okay. They'll come to me with all of their animals. This is common in the ancient world. When you want to appeal to your deity. I mean, where in the Torah do we see this? Very early on. Kind and Abel. Noah. Abraham. Right? That you will come to me with your animals to appeal to me. Right? Cholatz mehem. Right? I'm finished with you. Okay? I've left you. I want nothing to do with you. Bashem bogadu ki banim zarim yaladu. Atayu chlem chodesh es chalkeyem. Very difficult terminology is coming up here. You have turned... You see the word bogadu, it means turn traitor. And that's the English word turncoat is etymologically connected to this word. Right? Bogade means a traitor. It's interesting, another word for being a traitor is mo'el. Mo'al ma'al b'isha. Back to the sota, right? So also mi'il is also a coat.
Yeah.
Right? So, because you were very often known by your jacket color, was it your team or something on your side? So you go to the other side, you call it bogade, from the word beged.
Yeah, right. In the early arms, that's why the red coats wore red coats.
Right, good.
Because it could be identified.
Absolutely.
The Congress,
as I was
saying, that's why they wore red coats.
Right, so, okay. kibanim zarim yoladu, and because they intermarried, intermingled, and atayochlem chodesh as chalkeim. So now Rashi says that it refers to chodesh of. That's what Targum says. Right. Ibn Ezra cites a perush of Yefet that it means sword. There's one place in Tanakh where a sword is called chodesh. That's a typical Ibn Ezra kind of thing, where he takes one place in the whole Bible where the word seems to mean this, and he uses it in other places. But however you look at it, it's difficult. What it means that the Shira Katuv is because you behave this way, you will be your share is going to be eaten up. Okay. All right. When Sadi Gaon talks about 10 reasons why we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, this pasuk is one of the 10 reasons. Take a look. Would you read, Liam? Ches. Tiku.
Who?
Would you read Ches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tiku shofar, Vagiva, Shosra, Varama, Hariyu, Beit Aveh, Aven, Acharecha, Binyamin.
Okay, now this pasuk is not the first time something like this has happened in Hosea. But what it does begin to demonstrate, and we'll see so much of this in the coming chapters, is that Hosea is one of the most prolific users of literary devices in his prophecies. Do you see what literary device he's using here? I don't know if you picked it up the way you were reading it. Rhyme.
Yeah.
The pasuk rhymes. Tiku shofar begiva chatzotzra barama hariyu beis oven achrecha binyamin. Mm-hmm. Alright, so you don't usually see this in Tanakh. Tanakh has very little rhyme. Mm-hmm. I found the Tosfos in the Sechas Avodah Zarah that rhymes. The commentaries wrote introductions to their commentaries often in rhyme. But the Bible does not rhyme. What do you see? You see rhyme in the Torah. Right? Sometimes you see alliteration. Sheva Shavtos, Sheva Pamim, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pamim, something like that. But Maro Yever, Dofa, Siga Chalek Shalom. But what Hosea is going to do shortly, you'll see some very interesting puns, and we'll get used to it.
Okay. And this is what you said on the literary device star in this chapter?
This and the coming few chapters also. We'll see a number of psukim that rhyme, and it's a very rare thing in Tanakh. Our biblical authors were not used to rhyming. Okay? Alright, so he says to blow shofar in Giva. What's Giva? Two things happened in Giva in our history. One is there was that terrible abomination at the end of Sefer Shoftim, where that woman was cut up into 12 pieces. You all know what I'm talking about, right? So that type of abomination of sexual predators, etc., that we were so familiar with from this week's parsha in Sodom. It's much the same story as in Sodom.
Same chapter. Mm.
Same story. It's scary. Same thing. For a stranger comes to someone's house and they say, "Let him in. We want to know him, or to let him out so we can know him." Right, and they go, take the women, don't take the man, right? Okay. All right, so that's recording. All right, so that's why he says Giva. Also, Giva was the place that Bnei Israel insisted on having a king, where Shmuel gave them their last muster about having a king, and he told them the Mishpat HaMelech. So the king and Znus to put together in a place called Giva is what Hosea is all about, to rebuke the kings and to bring up their sexual predation.
Is that the same as a place called Givat Shaul or something like that?
Not exactly, but it's Giva means valley, so
what does Abi mean?
I'm sorry?
Abi.
Oven?
Abi.
Oven is a place of sin.
Abi.
Yeah. Oven, yeah, in place of sin.
No, not oven. A bean. It's a very common word you've been using a lot.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. When I use it again, stop me.
Okay.
Ephraim l'shama tihyeh b'yom tochecha. When this day of tochecha, this day of rebuke comes, you will be destroyed. B'shiftei Yisrael hodati nemona. I have given this truthful or believable or... Nemona means it's good. I mean, it'll happen. I'm good for it. Okay. Would you read Karen? Hayusari Yehuda.
Hayusari Yehuda Hakamah Asi Gate Gavul Alechem Ashvok Kamayim Evrati.
He's funny, actually. You know what my gvul is? It's Navera in the Torah. A drabonan manifestation of it is if you have a pizza store open on this corner and you open up a pizza store on the same block. It's called Masi Gvul. You've heard of the concept,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't break into someone else's boundary like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he says, Yehuda is Masi Gvul on Yisrael. What, you think that Yisrael has a monopoly on prostitution and murder? Come on. This is Yehuda's Masig Vuv. They have a prostitution shop, and Yehuda opens up a prostitution shop on the same street. I mean, he's funny. He's like a
sarcasm.
Yeah, it certainly is. Okay, who used to be Yehuda? Masig Vuv. Aleihem Mishpoch. Kamayim Mavisi. I'll pour my wrath on him. So I would say Hoshea is one of the sharpest wits in the Bible, with his rhyme and his poetry and his alliteration and his puns. Remember, we saw this already earlier, where he describes destroying cities with the same word as the city for the destruction. I mean, he's really, and we'll see. It's going to come up again.
The idea that in the Torah, the word was dictated to Moses, but the prophets, God just gave them the idea, and they had it.
Correct. Correct. Look, there are some, you know, having this ability, some of the greatest and charismatic speakers of the 20th century were also some of the most evil men of the 20th century. You know, I don't put this person in the same league, but there are some leaders today who I think are horribly misguided, but they can crank out a great pun and a great rhyme and a great, you know.
The gift of the God, it's called.
Yep.
Jesse Jackson.
Okay. Ashuk Ephraim, Ritzutz Mishpat, Ki Ho'il Halach Acharei Tov. Alright, it means that Ephraim is oppressed, and so is Mishpat. Not just the people are oppressed. There's Mishpat. You ever see, like, Mishpat is like, you ever see there's a woman in a statue, her eyes are blindfolded,
yeah.
And. Right.
Justice.
Right. So. Ki ho'il halach acharei tzav. Tzav here, Targum says mamon dishkar. Rashi says shalmonim. You know, paybacks. All the leaders get getting paybacks. How can you have justice in such a situation? And my father, when he was the director of engineering in the hospital, he told me that there's so much corruption in these places, at higher echelons. He says because he deals with millions of gallons of fuel a year. It's a huge complex of hospitals all over the New York area. And he's responsible for ordering fuel for them. So, you know, often during his tenure, he said that the companies would come to him and say, listen, if you take my contract, I'll give you a half a penny per gallon for the whole year. $50,000. Right? Or more. It's a million. It's $50,000 per million. I mean, it's a lot of money. So my father would just kick him right out, right away. Right? And he'd deny it up the wazoo. But, you know. And then, it was what happened once, that 2 weeks later the hospital had that contract. He went higher than my father.
Mm.
Who orders oil? The director of engineering orders oil. He went higher, he went just to one of the directors. You know which one? Each place has its own director, and there's a guy inside who knows. So, you know, my father wasn't about to go and, you know, bring 60 minutes into it. Right? Such
so hard to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything 60 minutes says is hard to believe anyway. But
tell him next time.
So this is what he's saying, is that the people at the top are all running after Saul, which is an example of what I just described. Va'ani ka'osh le'Ephraim u'charakov le'Beis Yehuda. Osh and a rokov are moth and caterpillar. What does he mean by that? I'm a moth and a caterpillar. I'm a moth to Ephraim and a caterpillar to Beis Yehuda. What it looks like is just a nuisance, right?
Mm.
But I can eat away at you. Mm. I can break down your forest. I can break down your clothing. I can break slowly. Mm. I'm a moth and caterpillar, which means he's trying to say, my word will slowly get through to you.
Mm.
It's not going to hit you, but at one point you're going to say, Vayar Ephraim is chol yov, Yehuda is mizoro, Vayelach Ephraim al Asher, Vayishlach HaMelech Yarev, Vahu lo yuchal erpo lachem, Vahu lo yikhem ikhem mazor. He's just saying that Ephraim will and Yehuda will one day recognize their sickness. Right? Only one thing will can help you from this sickness is tshuva. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. Only God is your healer. The sickness here, of course, is your sin. Okay? Right? If you think to cure your sickness through other ways, namely by making a peace pact with Ashur, by trying to appease him, by sending him bribes, Yarev, Melech Yarev is the king of Ashur. He's called that here because he's a man who's about to fight with you. Right? He will not be able to heal you when your day comes. Okay? Well, you can give him a mazor. Mazor is the same as pain. Machov is mazor. Okay? Alright? Moshe is addressing both kingdoms here. He's begging them both to return to Hashem. Alright? Ki anochi kashacha le'efraim v'chakfir le'beis Yehuda. Ani ani etrof ve'eleich esav ein matzil. Now, the prophet called himself a caterpillar and a moth to Israel. He's talking God is going to be a lion to you. Okay, especially to Yehuda, which is called a lion in the Torah. A little more than a moth and a caterpillar. Okay? Ani etrof. See the word treif there? I'll make you treif. Ve'eleich esav ein matzil. When I get up there and go, no one can save you. Okay? Eleich ashuva el makomi ad asher yeshmu v'kshufanai batzar lehem yishacharunani. I'm going to my place. I'm out of here. This is siluk shechina. In other words, you know what? There'll come a time where you'll beg for a Hosea. Right? Estalek mehem v'ashiva el shemayim. I'm going out of here. I'm going back to the heavens, and you're going to look for me. Right? You see the word shacharis in that word yishacharunani. But Tzarlahem, when you get into Tzaris, when you run into problems, then you'll call me, I'm sure. Now keep in mind throughout all of this that the things are still relatively good for the Jews. Remember, just recently they've extended the borders, like I told you, and all these how far the kingdom extended. So this is typical in our history. Our heart becomes haughty and we forget God. Or the Long Islandization of the Jewry, as I mentioned.
Hosea at this time.
How old is he?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing about Hosea, besides all these other superlatives I've been heaping upon him, is that he by the years, he prophesies longer than any other prophecy. Any other prophecy, about 50, 60 years, even up to 70 years. Right. Really a tremendous amount of time he covers. Right. Okay, let's start with Pasuk Vav. Yitz, would you Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Vav, you know what I mean? Would you like to use your name? No? Anyone else? Stand or...
Lechu
v'nashuv
el Hashem. Lechu v'nashuv el Hashem. He who tarach v'yir pa'enu yach v'yach v'shem.
He's dealing in puns now again.
It's a rhyme again.
Yir
pa'enu v'yach v'shem.
Right. Okay. Let's return to God. He's the one who's making us trace. In other words, you see, Assyria is threatening us. What's the way out? It's not really Assyria that's threatening you. It's God raising up Assyria's strength to threaten you because you're not listening to him. Assyria is just the rod of his wrath, as Yeshayahu explicitly calls it. Okay, Shevet Apo. So he told Taraf, you see the word Taraf, Vayir Pa'eni, Yir Pa'enu. You see, Taraf means he'll make us traif, like Taraf, Taraf Yosef, remember that? Ripped apart, that's why it's called traif. Ripped apart. The animal's unhealthy. The lungs are starting to fall apart.
What is
that? Taraf ayir pa'enu. You see, it's a pun from the word taraf and refuah. Oh. Taraf, refuah. Taraf ayir pa'enu. He destroyed us in order to build us back up. Like Yirmiyahu says, he destroys and rebuilds. Yach, he smites. Look at the word he uses for healing. Yach b'sheinu.
Yach
b'sheinu. Yach v'yach b'sheinu.
Come on,
yach, yach. That's the same.
Isn't it also straight? Isn't that a later usage of the word than here?
Sure, that's a Yiddish word. But I'm just saying, it comes from the Hebrew, Torah. Okay, so he's the one who causes the harm, not Ashur. So it behooves us to do tshuva. That's what he's hoping they'll say. Okay? You know what the tachboshes is? Tachboshes? A bandage. So yach b'sheinu is he'll bandage us, so to say.
So the word like shifal gubitas means medicine, doesn't it?
Oh, sure.
But it And also like the trade event.
Oh yeah, trufa with a tet is a word in the Torah also. Yeah, it says that the leaf was trufa in the mouth of the dove. Okay. Rashi says that this pasuk midrashically refers to the two destroyed temples and the third that will be rebuilt and stand forever. It's out of context. It does not really fit so well. The reason why Rashi says this here is probably because the pasuk is just so difficult. Okay. To go into such a distant future. I think if you just take Ibn Ezra's point, it's very simple. We know from a story in the Torah, we're going to read it in the Torah in a few days, a few weeks, I'm sorry, is that the third day after the hardest day, after an operation, after a bris, remember? Mm-hmm. It says when the people of Shechem circumcised right. themselves, it says on the third day when they were all in pain, Shimon and Levi came in and wiped them out. Right. So he says, God, give us the 2 days right after, and please, Be'am HaShlishi, Yekimenu, give us a Kima, a Hachiyah for the third day, because we know that that's going to be the most difficult day. Right?
Is that borne out by modern medicine?
Yeah.
Mm. Depends on what it is, but for a bris, that's what they say. For a bris, a boy who has a bris on a Wednesday, I'm sorry, a Thursday,
and
they say Shabbos, Machal, Shabbos, for anything, but if he has a bris on Friday, don't. Only when the third day is Shabbos.
Drug addiction.
Only when Shabbos is the third day.
Drug addiction or alcoholism.
Yeah.
3 days used to be the old rule of thumb.
Yeah, if you can get past 3 days.
Yeah, you are out of the rules.
Okay. V'neida nirdefa l'da'as es Hashem k'shachar nachon motzao v'yavo k'geshem l'andet malkosh yoreh aretz. This pasuk is a famous pasuk. Actually, Yerushalmi tells a story about two rabbis who were walking in the north of Israel, and they saw the sun rising slowly above the horizon, and they said, "See, you know, the sun rises every day. Isn't that amazing? I never had a day where the sun didn't rise." So they just said that, you know, that's so God's salvation is as sure as the sunrise. That's what Hosea says right here. Remember the story of Yaakov fighting with the angel all night, and when the sun rose, the angel, which represented evil, begged to be sent away. I have to be sent away. I can't stay anymore, because the evil can't stay with the sunrise. It can only stay in the darkness.
Is that about the concept where Shelley got the concept of Dracula not being able to stay?
Probably.
No.
I don't doubt it.
That's a good, interesting.
Maybe.
Okay. Alan, would you read Dalit, please? Maya Selacha Ephraim.
Maya Selacha Ephraim. Maya Selacha Yehuda. Bechad Dichem. Kainan Boker. Chatal. Tashkim.
Well, what more can I do to you, Ephraim and Yehuda? What, you know, your chesed is as fleeting as the morning cloud. Like the dew as you, that dries up as the day goes on. It's just a metaphor that, in fact, what's going to start coming up in Sefer Hoshea, especially in Perek Zion, are metaphors that make no sense whatsoever to us.
Tell
a person in Japan, translate into Japanese, make no bones about this. I'll toss out some oat music. In Hebrew, imagine such a thing.
I heard a whole story about all these slogans in Japan when it's translated.
It's funny, mm-hmm. And you know they all have. You know, this person is in the limelight. What does that mean? Yeah, each one has an origin, and there's some chachma knowing these origins of how they come in, but they're unique to a certain society, right? And sayings become popular, so it's a. What might help us to know a little archaeology, right? There are a few places, for instance, where you know, Goliath says, "Am I a dog that you come to me like this?" Or Avner says to Ishbosheth, "Am I a dog that you accuse me of taking Shaul's concubine?" And we see in ancient correspondence that when people corresponded to someone who was on a higher madrega than they are, they would sign the letters "Your dog" in the name. Mm-hmm. See, today we write "Yours truly." Then they would write "Your Caliph." So to quote, you know, "Am I your dog?" You know, that you come to me without even a spear. You tell you come to me with a slingshot, right? I'm higher than you. You're not higher than I am. So sometimes it helps us to know, try to decipher certain metaphors that they use. Then we hope to be the fact that Hebrew continues to be a spoken language all these years unceasingly, and it's been studied, and the Pesukim of Tanakh have been studied so carefully all these years with commentaries, and everyone studies it, not just a choice few clergy, but everyone is studying it, so these things become alive for us and we can do a little better job of it. But Hoshea is quite difficult in this.
What do we do with things like where we now know through archaeology that what a dog means, and also that pim means, but Rashi interpreted it in different ways?
No doubt that if Rashi would see it now, he'd say,
So it's okay in some cases to...
Rashi himself says in a few places in his parish, I always thought this is what the pasuk means, but then someone else showed me that that's it. Yeah. Those who insist that Rashi could never get it wrong because he wrote with Nevuah, I think is a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's finish this. So he says, Al kein chotzafti banviyim haraktim bimefi mishpatecha or yitzei. Right? Now, these Nevi'im are either false prophets or prophets that just never tried to get you to approve. It could be the same thing.
But there
are plenty of such prophets today also. Yeah, there are plenty of such prophets today also who say everything is okay. Shalom, shalom. But there ain't shalom. It's not peace.
Where did that come?
That's from Yom. That's a very interesting point. Prophets were not in the habit of coming to the people to say, Ko Amar Hashem, you're doing great. I'm sure that they did those things, but they just didn't get written down for them.
They were talking about, hail and brimstone.
Okay, Yeshayahu does it a little bit, Zechariah chapter 8, Yirmiyahu chapter 31 even for a little bit. And some of that, the books always end with that kind of statement. But in the meantime, the prophets are supposed to make the comfortable uncomfortable while giving comfort to the uncomfortable.
Just because you were a prophet didn't mean you had a prophecy to go out to the people, or you could be a prophet for yourself.
Those people were largely servants. Okay. Ki chesed chafatzti. Pasuk says, this is a pasuk about a very common statement of the Nevi'im Acharonim. Ki chesed chafatzti. Would you read it, Jim?
Ki chesed chafatzti b'lo zavach, v'dat elokim ha'olot.
Right. I'm not interested in your zevach. I'm not interested in your olos. I'm interested in your chesed. Now, the Reform movement picked up on these kind of verses, right? Especially in books like Amos and Yeshayahu. Hoshea is just the same. Then they brought down the ethical aspect of Judaism from something like this. God does not want your rituals, He just wants your good deeds, right? Now, nowhere does any prophet say God does not want sacrifices at all. It says God doesn't want your sacrifices. He does not want the sacrifice of a murderer and a prostitute. That's what He doesn't want. But He does want sacrifice in general, okay?
Say the same thing.
Yeah, all over the chapter 1, yeah. I already went through earlier this semester about the concept of sacrifice between the Rambam and the Ramban. Maybe we'll have the opportunity to do it again when we do Amos. But for now, just take it for this, that the prophet does not mean to say that God despises sacrifice. Whether or not God originally wanted sacrifice, I'll leave to the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether God just made a concession to us and a whole bunch of mitzvahs in the Torah only sort of, b'di'evit after the fact. But here it says, V'hema ki'adam avubris shom bagdubi. Okay, he's mentioning specific aveiros, right? That Rav Elozer Bozhansky, who has a parish to Treasar, so there he says, they're behaving with me like Adam. What is that? I gave him one little thing to do. Not to eat from the tree. And then, when he eats from the tree, he tries to hide from me. That's what you guys are doing. You don't think I see what you're doing? You think you can hide from me? You guys are behaving like Adam. So according to that, this word Adam is referring to Adam Rishon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's how the Targum reads it. That's how Rashi reads it. Adam Rishon. See? There is another Gemara in Sanhedrin that says from here that Adam was Mefer Briso. Adam Arishon. I mean, there was a common thing in during the Roman times, even in the Greek times, called epiplasm. It's a horribly painful procedure where a circumcised male would undergo some kind of stretching of some membrane in order to make it look like he was not circumcised. It says Gilad Kiryat Poli Oven Akuba Midam. Gilad is Akuba. Now, what part of the body is Akub?
Your
heel. Your heels. In other words, the blood is all over the street. Your heels until your ankles are just filled with blood.
See, isn't that where I start to evoke Yaakov or not?
It's an interesting question. I don't think so here. Yirmiyahu does it. Chapter 9, Yirmiyahu does it. Ki kol och Akov Yaakov. Yirmiyahu says things are going to get so bad, don't trust your brother even. Why? Ki kol och Akov Yaakov. And he says, Mirma b'mirma yelechu, which is exactly the word Yitzchak used. Ba'achicha b'mirma. I don't know. Here I don't think so. Uchetakei ish gidudim chever kohanim derech yiratzku shechma ki zima asu. He's just saying that people are chetakei ish, they're lying in wait like gidudim, like gangs, right? Kohanim don't like to hear things like this, but that's how they're behaving too. Kohanim are all gathering together, how much more meat can we get, how much paybacks can we get, how much all that kind of stuff. You know, Kohanim get a lot of gifts that they can then sell back to the community if not close to. Beveis Yisrael ra'isi sha'ariviyah shams nus lefayim nitma Yisrael gam Yehuda shasko tzirlach b'shuvi shvusami. And he says that this nus, the sha'ariviyah is a like a novella. Okay. Or as she says here, shinu es darkam, they changed their ways. Right. In any event, I see that they're all turning towards Znus, as we said many times, and Yehuda is also doing the same thing. Right. The only difference is, as Rashi reads the end of the pasuk, is that I will return Yehuda, but I'm not returning Yisrael so quickly. You've heard of the organization called Shvut Ami. That's where it comes from. Shvut Ami was one of the first organizations to help settle Russians in Israel and America and give them yeshiva education, etc. Alright, so the northern tribes are not returning, Yehuda is returning. Next week we get to these amazing metaphors. However, I don't know what we're going to do with it. We'll try our best. Hosea is going to become increasingly difficult. You might forgive me for just glossing over some verses. I always like to do every pasuk. When I teach at YU, I do mamash every pasuk in the sefer. But sometimes I just say this is a difficult pasuk, here's what Rashi does with it. Bang.
So how far do we read ahead?
If you want to read ahead to chapter 7 and just see how difficult it is. I think I already mentioned, we're doing two chapters at a time now, which is very nice, but I wasn't sure if we'd get to the Perek Zion or not. It's this is where he uses the metaphors of adultery, like as a baker. Right. And I think when all is said and done, with all the metaphors that it has in common, right? You know, this bread has to rise for some time, and then you take it out of the oven, and you can use. Please think of it yourself. But I think it's all from the pun of, I think you mentioned last year, niuf and ofet. Right? The Hebrew word for adultery is niuf. The word for baking is ofia. So just like you saw Yahya, Pesheni, Taraf, Ibrahimi, these are fascinating things. You know, people write articles on one pun, on one metaphor, and they get a 10-page article in a scholarly journal. Mm-hmm. You know, so and they compare it to similar puns that appear in other places, in Akkadian and Ugaritic. So all right, they have it in Hebrew. Okay, so what Mr. Shem will continue with that. And we'll stick in on the schedule of doing two chapters at a time, where we'll start to cover the other ground.
Where was he prophesying from?
Like
you say,
Buddha. Anywhere from the north of Jerusalem to Gadan. You know.
You're saying these two kings still communicated with each other? Or not?
Well, right before this, in fact, 30, 40 years before this, there was an attempt. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago to unite the kingdoms.
That
produced a wicked woman named Atalia who tried to kill off all of Yehuda so she could rule over both. All right, we'll continue to show next time with the pair of Zion.